Hi, everybody. This is Coach Heather. I'm gonna let y'all come in. I'm gonna change my name. Whoops. I'm No BS Coach Heather. I'm not Corinne. I am here to be your fearless guide. When you think about fitting the four basics into your fall schedule, okay, this is an open coaching call. And all you have to do is raise your hand. To do that, you have to go down to the bottom of your screen, go to reactions, click that. And then there is an option there once you click that to raise your hand. So that's how we've been rolling through the whole summer. And summer is coming to a close pretty quickly. Good afternoon, everybody. Georgia is in the house. Okay, tell us where you're from. Good to see you, Betty. You can introduce yourself, tell everybody where you're from, get definitely something to drink. And I always recommend when you attend any coaching call that this is not a passive, activity. I want you to use the coaching that you are listening to and see how you can apply it to what you're working on in your life. And I do want to say something about getting coached, but first I want you to know that Coach Christy is in the chat supporting you. Hi Christy. I didn't see you yet in the chat. Are you here? I hope you're here. Let me see. Yeah, we have two panelists. Okay. So it's so interesting, Corinne has her group coaching program that she is running. And she had some brilliance to offer that group that I want to offer you here. And that's about a hesitancy about getting coached. And it was really interesting to see the conversation play out over there. And I want to speak to this. I'm actually going to be using Corinne's words to start this call because I see that we have almost 200 attendees so far. It's going up quick, and no one has their hand raised. And so just consider that I'm talking to each and every one of you when you have a fear of getting coached, okay? Everyone is afraid that you're going to feel bad if you raise your hand to get coached, okay? Everyone. It's so normal. I'll look stupid. I'll feel judged. I'm afraid of what I'll figure out. I don't even know what I'll get coached on. I'm embarrassed about what I want to talk about. I'm afraid of seeing myself on camera. Give me a reaction if this sounds familiar to you. Okay. My problem isn't big enough. My problem isn't good enough. Right. Now, here's what Corinne had to say about it. If she had to guess, the reason why you're not getting coached is the exact reason why you're here in the membership. It involves you being courageous to show up for the goals and the results that you're here for. That's not easy. I know that I'm asking you to stretch what you feel capable of, what you feel comfortable with. But that's the nature of habit change. When we're talking about losing weight, we're talking about changing our habits of thinking and acting around food. And that is not easy. It is not an easy process. It is inherently uncomfortable. But if you're sitting back passively and just consuming content intellectually, and you're not engaging, you're not getting in there, getting your hands dirty in the living of your life meets the four basics, then you're in the way of your results. Okay. So engagement is what I'm asking for. Now, look, you don't have to get coached. Okay. You're not doing anything wrong if you choose. It's just not for you. That's totally fine. But you can learn a lot here no matter what you choose. Corinne says, I just want you to choose with your eyes wide open to fear-based decision making. Okay. What would happen and what would change in your life if you no longer let fear be the driving decision about what could happen? That's a great journal prompt for any one of you to like contemplate. I hear this a lot in Ask Coaches. I hear it a lot with my clients. So what if you just didn't care about being afraid and you just really wanted to get curious about what's on the other side of your fear? Okay. All right. So that's enough. I have some hands. It worked. Thank you all for raising your hand. I hope to get through all of you this evening. Okay, what else can I say? Make sure that you have your chat box set to everyone so that everyone can hear or see your chat messages. All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about, all right, let me just go over. Hang on. This call is about how to fit the four basics into your fall schedule. Okay. It's about like the seasons changing, right? Like maybe your schedule changed. Maybe you're a military worker, right? Or your kids went back to school, and I'm sure your brains are giving you all kinds of like obstacles in the way. Okay. So I'm going to be asking everyone I coach a bunch of questions about like the logistics of their life. And we're going to open up to creative solutions to figure out how you can keep the four basics with you no matter what's going on in the end of summer and the beginning of fall. Okay. So, Rafa, you are first. I'm promoting you. All right, I'm going to take a sip of water. Everybody, take water with me. I know
Hello.
you.
I know you.
Hi.
Hello.
So good to see you.
Likewise.
Okay, what are we coaching on?
I want to make it relevant to the season, and it is. Starting September all the way to December historically has been a period where I gain weight.
Okay.
Not a ton of weight, but I feel like it's a period where I start making a lot of exceptions. And exceptions in and the way that I define that is like there's a opportunity for unplanned food or eating not based on hunger, and my brain rationalizes it as, oh, this is very special. Like, this is special. This deserves an exception. And I caught myself doing it this weekend. And look, I'm going to be going on a trip in 2 weeks. I'm going to be in Europe. That's how September kicks off. Then
Okay.
it's like October and it gets to my birthday, then Thanksgiving, and you know the drill.
Okay.
So I've just been onto my mind about that justification. And like when I think the thought, this is special, I really feel it.
Right. Well, what if you get to keep all the special parts of how you choose to think about what your options are? Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that October isn't special and your birthday isn't special, right? But let's keep the special and find a way to make decisions that honor doable hunger, right? So, can you think of an instance that is familiar, maybe in your past, where it seems like you can't?
Where I can't keep the specialness and still honor my hunger.
Correct.
When I'm traveling, I mean, that's a big one. I'm maybe traveling a few times in the next 4 months. I'm in Germany and I'm at a bakery and
Okay.
I've had a breakfast and this is special. I'm with friends. I want to partake.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, we have a few options here, right? So when you know you're in Germany, you can plan for bakery food and put off maybe the breakfast that you would have initially, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about strategic planning. So when you're traveling, do your best to communicate with who you're traveling with, where you might want to go. Now you can't anticipate everything, right? You can't possibly do that. But you want to really like your reasons for what you do decide to do. And you want to do it because you're making a conscious choice. We don't want you to feel like the bakery had unnecessary power over you, right? Or that, oh, poor me, I can't have bakery food because of the four basics, right? Like I'm so deprived, right?
Yeah, and that's not where my brain goes. Like I've gotten so good at allowing all foods, and that's been wonderful. I think where I get tripped up the most is like, this is the only opportunity that I have to eat this, like, whatever it is, right? It's like my brain makes it such a big deal. And I
Right.
think one thing I've played with is thinking like it's just food. Like it is like literally a combination of food, of substance,
Yes.
of matter that is interesting. And I'm just glorifying it. I'm glorifying like this, not maybe not the moment, because I do like to like be excited about
Yes.
experiences and celebration. But in terms
Yes.
of the actual food, and I know
Right.
that a lot of the coaching is around, you know, being able to feel the specialness, and because it comes from within. Something Corinne said one day that I was like, oh my gosh. She was talking about how she's like not drinking as much and how she's like, you know how I'm gonna have fun without drinking? I'm thinking fun thoughts.
That's right. That's right.
What?
So when you're in Germany, right? Let's say like you really enjoyed your breakfast and you're here in this bakery and your friends are like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have this special roll, this German roll, right? And you're like, oh, and then you're like, wait a minute, I'm not hungry for it. So then I want you to expand the possibilities of the moment. What delights can I keep from this situation, right? And which things am I willing to sort of take a pass on? In other words, does the roll, the German roll sliding down my throat, bring me all of the joy of the situation? Or is it just my willingness and my receptivity to say, I can choose to eat it or I can't, or I don't have to, but nothing steals my joy. Right? It could be a planned overeat. It could be a pass. It's really up to you. And you just know that, like, whatever you choose, you're always in control of the feelings that you create by how you choose to think about it. Right? And like, the delight is coming from you're giving that role all of the credit for the joy and the delight of the environment you're in, being in another country, being with your friends, right? Does it deserve all of that? It might
Yeah.
be part of it, yeah, right? Like, just honestly, yeah, it tastes good and it's nice to eat with other people, but I don't need to have the food going down my throat to participate and feel part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I also
What do you
connect with
think?
like, yeah, like I you know, because we work together, that I like to connect with like the future version of me. And I think the future version of me doesn't like sees food as food, also as enjoyment, because I mean I love enjoying food and that's not going to go away. But to like the point I made, like that role, like there's going to be thousands of other experiences in my life where I can enjoy food when I'm hungry. That's special, that's unique to the place where I am. So maybe this is not the opportunity today when I've had a
Right.
breakfast already.
Exactly. Or I just saw this in the Shelly said in the chat, two bites works for me. Right. And so, like, okay, maybe it's a worthy bite or two in case you wanted to plan it for breakfast the next day. Just that you know, like, is the promise of this, like, is it a worthy behind the velvet ropes option for me to plan tomorrow? And this sort of tells your brain, like, yeah, this is not a once in a lifetime opportunity. And by the way, there are also German bakeries in America that might make the same thing, right? Like, I often coach on this with holiday foods, you know, around, you know, the holidays. And I always say to my bakers, like, why don't you make it like in the spring? Why don't you prove to yourself that we aren't in a scarcity mode with food? We can oftentimes create a food abundance if we want to normalize food. Sometimes we have to make the effort to really truly normalize it and say, you know what? I'm going to find the best bakery in the area where I live, the German bakery, and I'm going to see if I can replicate if it would be as good as the one here in Germany. Maybe it would be, maybe it wouldn't be. That's also delightful.
I love that. Yeah, because when you said scarcity, like it's exactly that. It's like, let me get it while I can. Let me get it while I have it.
And this sort of like out of the box thinking of like, I have a bunch of choices here and I can decide how I want this to go. And none of those options makes me wrong or proves to me that I can't take the four basics with me in any situation. Right? I just got to find a way to adapt it for reasons that I like. And then, you know, also when you're traveling, like it also begs the question, Are you going to maintain when you travel? Are you going to do a gain? Like allow a gain of a few pounds because you want to overeat ahead of time. That's always an option for you too.
What do you mean by that? That I can overeat ahead of time.
So you can choose to say, like I had a client last week who traveled out of the country and she said, you know what? I'm going to allow myself to gain about 3 pounds. For her, that represents a huge improvement from the times before when it would be like 8 or 10 pounds. And so for her, that's working at the edge of her capacity, right? Like to allow her habits around food outside of her regular home environment to just to work at the edge of like what she is capable of doing. And she came home and she was within 3/10 of a pound of that. And there's no reason why that can't represent a win for her, right? And now that's different than maybe for you. But just telling yourself, like, I have the option. I don't have to lose weight when I travel if I don't want to. Like, so what do I want to do? And knowing what your goal is can also help you know how to eat to reach that goal.
Yeah, totally. And
What do you
I think I would
think?
want to maintain. Yeah, I think I
Yeah,
would want
just
to maintain.
maintain.
Yeah, I don't want to maintain throughout the season. Like, I would like to see weight loss up until
Yes.
December, maybe not in the 2 weeks that I'm traveling.
Right.
But I think I can use the same techniques with, like, when it's my birthday and when it's Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that. Choosing
Right.
and being thoughtful of, like, what passes behind the velvet rope, as you say.
Exactly. And this is a great example of like how being really generous with yourself and making sure that traveling is doable, you're not setting yourself up for too high of an expectation to make sure that you keep losing, right? Let's say that you choose that. Well, in the time leading up to vacation, you might be even more motivated to make sure that you are eating with your blueprint of how many overeats I can have and still lose weight. And that can kind of like create a nice container for you to like stay really focused on your goals. And then you switch your goals when you go on vacation. And then you stay, when you come back, you get that nice focus back again because you gave yourself just a little bit of a reprieve because it does reflect, a different focus and value of when you're traveling and how you want to eat.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's about just making it your own. All
I
right, what
love
else besides travel? Anything else coming up that
that.
was in the way?
Yes. The scale. I
Okay.
am contemplating breaking up with a scale. I'm in my last 10 pounds and I get fixated on it. I'm afraid to let it go. Hold on. I want to focus on my behaviors first and foremost, the four basics. That is like the key thing that I want to focus on. And I've noticed that I get very frustrated when the scale doesn't move. And I kind of, there's like this desire in me to let go of it entirely, especially during the next 4 months where there's going to be travel and celebrations and et cetera. And just focus on like me showing up as like my future me.
Okay, well, I got to ask you a couple of questions about this before I can coach
Okay.
you on it. So the first one is, when you get frustrated when you get on the scale, are you telling yourself before you even get on the scale, are you looking at your data to tell yourself an expectation of what you think the scale would say? And when you get on the scale, does the scale make sense with how you looked at your week?
Yes, the scale makes sense,
Okay,
which
so
is
it's
like I'm
not the scale
maintaining.
that's the problem. It is not the, do not blame the scale. This is about you being frustrated that you weren't able to do the frequency of the basics. I don't want you to get pissed at the scale for that. I don't want you to get pissed at anyone. I want you to get scrappy with your four basics. Right? Like, why am I allowing an overeat on a Tuesday, say, if that's what it was? Work there. Work in a place where it can give you good results instead of just saying, like, let's take this thing out that I tend to have bad thoughts about. You need those bad thoughts, those difficult thoughts, in other words, about the negative weigh-in, because those are going to motivate you to look at what were my overeats about? Am I doing discovery worksheets? Am I understanding what the thoughts are that are leading to the overeats? So I can really get in there and understand like how I can shift my thinking, or do I need to process some emotions, like, and understand those habits.
Yeah, I guess my thinking is that if I let go of the scale entirely, I can actually go deeper into that, where I'm going to be like super honed in on the behaviors, super honed in on debriefing, looking at the discovery worksheets, and just, you know, detachment from the result, like focus on the process and detach from the result.
All right, you convinced me. So why don't you try it?
Okay, because I'm scared. I'm like, yes, okay. But I think what I'm scared of that I'm going to lose control. And I'm gonna like gain 10 pounds without noticing. And
right. So notice I'm thinking in ways that are creating fear.
Yes.
And remember what I said, when you touch on fear, you're right at the threshold of your comfort level with your habits.
Yes.
Let's feel the fear and see what happens on the other side of it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it will detach you. Maybe you do want to keep the scale, right? Maybe, but maybe also it will allow you to go deeper because that distraction isn't no longer in the way. Either way, you've got to get your hands dirty in figuring out some shit, throwing some spaghetti on the wall, seeing what sticks, seeing what works for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Try
I'm
it.
Doing
Try it for a week. Does a container of a week feel safe enough for you to experiment with? You just take a step at a time.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. And then write in to Ask Coaches and let me know how it went. Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
Thank
you,
you
Heather.
Take care. You're
Bye.
welcome. Bye. All right. So I'm going to bring you back down and I'm bringing up Annie. That was so good.
Hello, there I am.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm so blurry. There we go.
There. Okay, that's better. Perfect. How are you?
Good. So I just started a new job where I'm mostly working from home.
Okay.
Which is a great and welcome shift. But now there is food around me at all times.
Okay.
So I'm having I just kind of came off of the summer where I was doing, I'm in education. So I was doing a lot of professional development over the summer where it was all protocol and no real plans because I was at a place, all day where I wasn't sure what I was going to eat, which made me feel out of control, which then made me, feel like I needed to eat more. So I've essentially maintained for the last month. I'm coming out of the hardcore professional development realm and now just mostly working at home.
Okay.
And I guess I'm having a hard time with the transition of, like, I felt more, I think the buzzword today is control. I felt more in control when I, you know, packed my lunch and it was a set amount of food and that's what I took to work with me every day. And now it just feels very nebulous, if that makes sense.
All right. Well, why don't you just pack your food, just like as if you're going out the house?
I hate food prepping. So I understand how that could be a solution. I didn't like doing that as it was happening. It did give me that sense of control. So maybe that's what I need.
Okay. The food, let's just be clear on this. Packing the food never gave you a sense of control. It was what you made packing the food mean that created a sense of control for you. Food laying in a box cannot create a feeling inside of you. Right?
Okay, yeah.
The feelings in the box can't jump into your body. It's what you made it mean. So tell me what you made it mean, even though you didn't like it. Prepping the food, what did you make it mean that gave you the sense of control?
there was like a prescribed portion size of like this, okay. This is what I have to eat at work today. Like, I don't have the full fridge. I don't have my full pantry. I just have what I put in a bag, you know, mm-hmm. in a Tupperware and in a bag. So I guess it created, for me, preparing in that way gave me the sense of maybe safety of
maybe certainty.
Yeah. So there, I didn't have external temptations most of the time. Like, we weren't an office that had a lot of snacks and stuff around. So okay. It was really like, if I wanted to go get something else, I would have to leave, get in my car and go get something else.
Okay. So there were some natural barriers to you being able to eat other things other than what you planned.
Okay. Right.
And that's really all that's changed in your circumstance.
Right.
It's that the barriers to other options, which, by the way, you always had, even when you brought your food, right?
Right.
You just had a habit of thinking, I have certainty in what I plan to eat, and I have a commitment to eat that.
Yeah.
So the question is, how can you take that container of thinking and apply it over into this new circumstance, which is, I work at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can create some other barriers in creative, out of the box ways. Right? You can write yourself sticky notes. You could prep your food, like I mentioned, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, can you do whatever it takes to help you feel more certain as you work on trusting yourself that no matter what kind of food abundance environment I'm in, I make decisions with when I make my plan every day about what I'm going to eat. And then I check in with my stomach to know when to eat. And then I check in with how, if I'm physically had enough to know how much to eat. So I rely on my plan for what food, and then I rely on my stomach for when, and I rely on my sense of physically satisfied to tell me how much. You've always done that.
Mm-hmm.
You just haven't been giving those things credit for it. And this is how you start taking, you know, you having food in a container and giving that credit for the habits that you're able to follow around food. And we're going to bring them inside of you now.
Yeah.
This is going to be a great big reveal. Cue the fear. Yay. We're afraid. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
going to
evolve you. It's going to evolve you in your trust of yourself. Are you going to fuck it up sometimes? Maybe. It's okay though. This is how you're going to learn to trust yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if I overeat because the fridge is there ever a future where you're going to be like, you know what? It's fine. I actually don't mind that.
In the future. Yes. No,
I don't think you're hearing me. If you eat just without regard to any plan or anything, and just because the pantry's there, because you're now working from home, and you just overeating all the time, is there ever a future that you think that you're going to be okay with that?
Oh, I heard it the other way around. No.
Yeah. I know. That's okay. But do you think you're going to be okay with that?
No, that's not the future I want for myself.
Okay. So that's the place where you start to trust yourself. You don't need to trust the container. You can trust to know, I want a different relationship with my food lifestyle.
Yeah.
Right? I can trust that even if I do overeat once in a while, it's not going to feel good. And that's a great sign because it wakes me up to like, you know what? I'm thinking overeating is what I want, but it's not actually what I want. What I actually want is to eat what I plan and follow my hunger cues. Right? And then you just practice.
Yeah. It's interesting that I don't usually have this issue with breakfast. I sometimes have this issue with dinner, you know, that the food is available. I mean, we all eat at home sometimes, you know. Yeah. And I feel like now I'm making lunch during the work week a problem, because it's not in a container that helps me understand. Maybe it's a visual thing. Maybe I do need to prep a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, listen, you're building your capacity of trust mm-hmm. in this new circumstance.
Yes.
And you just don't have it yet. That's okay. You don't have to trust yourself to still get in there and make a plan and try checking in with your stomach and following your doable hunger each time. Right? You're just developing a capacity for trusting yourself. You know, and that's got to be built with like a lot of practice. And you also want to help yourself feel as safe as you can in that environment. And so, yes, set yourself up with some training wheels, if you will. Like maybe the first week you just pack your lunch and you're like, all right, well, how does this feel? Do I feel like I like this? Like I still could go in the fridge if I wanted to, but I didn't. And then you could give yourself trust for that. Like, yeah. Validation for all of that. And like I said, it's just like, you just don't have a habit of thinking that you can trust yourself to follow your doable hunger. You've given like the environment that you find yourself in all of this power over you. And you're just going to like punch holes in that theory because you know, you're not someone who wants to overeat.
Right.
Right. And you can trust that. Okay. The sun is coming in. I'm going to go close the curtain. All right. So let me know how it goes. And if you have any problems, come to Ask Coaches. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Annie, you take care.
Bye.
Bye. I'm going to bring you back down. All right. I'm going to bring up, what happened to all my raised hands? No one's got their hand raised. Okay. Come on. Let's feel the fear. Raquel, you're coming up. All right, I'm going to close this curtain. I'll be right back. Ellen's got her hand raised. All right.
Sorry, I had to go into a different spot.
That's okay.
I put my hand down because I thought, I don't know if my topic is on topic. So I thought, well, I'll let somebody else go since it was like a fall topic. So,
okay.
Anyway,
let's try it. Let's see what happens.
Okay. All right. So I have been given some new responsibilities at work.
Okay.
Like a lot of new responsibilities at work. And so I am really struggling with balancing everything. And I tend to be an all or nothing person. So I tend to be someone kind of who like tries to do the best at everything. And then I just end up like not really getting a lot accomplished, and that spills over into no BS. So for example, I probably have, and this is, I'm sure not, maybe not new, but like 15 different planners. I use the no BS planner. Then I use one of the digital planners. Then I use a paper planner, and I just get, and then I buy one off eBay or not eBay, Amazon. And then I see a different one. And then anyway, and so I think I don't really plan like the content. I think I just spin my wheels kind of doing the different forms, if that makes sense. And then I don't really make progress on what I need to work on. And so that
okay,
carries
so
over
are you
into,
planning
sorry.
Daily?
Last month I was 77%.
Okay.
So not daily.
Okay.
But
what about doable hunger, following doable hunger?
No. And I don't follow my plan. I make the plan. I don't follow the plan.
Okay. Are you losing weight?
No.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yes, it does.
All right. So you're doing the planning, but it sounds like you might be virtuously planning. Are you putting a bunch of stuff on your plan to eat that you don't really want to eat?
Not necessarily.
Okay. And then why aren't you eating what you put down?
Because as work gets stressful, and especially as I have these new things, I don't have the energy to cook what I planned, or it's easier for me to just stop and get something because I just don't want to eat
I
what
see.
I planned, I
Okay,
guess.
So that's different. That's the morning version of Raquel overestimates, evening version of Raquel's bandwidth for emotional tolerance and energy expenditure. Because you're in a new job and it's right, it's pushing your buttons, right? It's you're feeling some feelings probably. You've got some thoughts going on, right? So what feels like the kindest way for you to, at least for the time being, plan for your evening meal? What would that look like?
I mean, my first thought was just leave it open so that I could get what I feel like in the moment. But I know that that's not the right answer. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, you could. Let's break
Doesn't
some
help
rules.
Me, though.
Right. Does it feel good to just have a blank thing there?
Like, no, I mean, yeah, no.
All right. For tonight, what did you have on your planner? Did you make a plan for today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What'd you have for dinner tonight?
I had chicken pasta Alfredo.
Okay. Were you expecting yourself to make that?
No, it was, no, all I had to do was heat it up.
Okay. And did you have that or are you planning on having it? What is the honest truth?
I planned on having it, but instead I had toast and peanut butter and jelly.
Okay. So go back to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware of what you planned when you decided to have the toast and peanut butter and jelly?
Yes.
Okay. And then what was your thought about having that?
I wanted something sweet and something more comforting and something. So the toast and peanut butter just, I don't know, made me feel more comfort. Whereas the pasta was maybe more salty. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But you know, there's probably some no BS women in the chat right now that think the original thing that you planned was way more comforting.
Yeah, I know. That's why I lowered my hand. Cause I'm like, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just know that
I'm not letting you get away with that. I'm trying to prove a point here, which is the comfort that you get from your food never comes from the food itself. It comes from how you choose to think about your food. And for some reason for you, your choice, like reserving the right to choose, is what feels most comforting in the moment. Why do you suppose that is? Is there something going on at work where you feel like you don't have a lot of choice?
Sorry. Yeah. I'm struggling. It's a lot of added responsibility. And it's every day not feeling like I'm doing it well. So there's some emotion, I guess. So
okay.
I feel like I'm never doing anything right. So.
Okay. So I want you to see this. Your current habits of thinking about your job. Not only your added responsibility, right? But how you're thinking about your performance over your shoulder with the clipboard taking notes, you know, that version of you feels terrible, feels awful. And that sort of sets you up at the end of the day to really look for relief in any way that you can find it. I don't want to be a coach who says, you know, I'm going to coach you on how to make that choice that you put down on that planner. Even when you feel jacked up like that. Instead, I want you to work on your thoughts about your performance at work in a way that helps you feel a little bit better so that you don't arrive at the end of your day with no capacity to tolerate like pushing past needing to follow your plan, right? And so what are the kinds of things that you say to yourself about your performance at work?
I don't do it right. It's not, I'm not managing well. I'm not organized. I forget everything. I'm never catch up. I'm always behind. I felt that before I had the added responsibility. So
we just took the old habits of negative self-regard and then we put them in this new higher pressure situation, and it just turned up the volume on your habits of thinking about your performance. And this is really the area that I want you to work in. Okay. So is it true in any situation, even a year from now, when you're used to this job and you're used to the new responsibilities, that the work will ever be done?
Probably not. Okay. Actually, no, because a job is that's self-fulfilling. You need to have things to do to have a job. So
right.
No.
Okay. So there's always more work to do. Okay. So how about if you just agree that when you hear thoughts like you should be further along, you should have gotten more done, if you just start responding to those thoughts with, I'm doing the best I can and I'm learning. The more I practice, the easier this gets. Are you responding to any of these terrible feeling thoughts about how you're performing at work? Or are you just letting it be a beat down in your head?
I think I let it be a beat down, because when I try and respond differently, like some of the things that you were saying, it's like, it feels like it's just letting me off the hook. And it's like, well, that's not true, because, you know, you don't do it well. And so no. To answer your question, I'm sorry. Okay. No, I don't respond.
Okay. Well, what about giving yourself grace to be a beginner at your new job your new job description? Like, can you let yourself suck at it for a little while?
Again,
are you just
like
automatically expecting yourself to perform as if you've done the job for years?
I guess I already am sucking, so I guess I should just acknowledge it. Maybe
you could just say, hey, I'm a beginner,
so
I'm not going to be good at
but
this.
I'm not.
Beginners get overwhelmed,
but I'm not.
Beginners
a beginner.
Never feel like they're caught up. It's kind of like going into the advanced math class, right? When you're like, wait, I don't, what's going on here? Right? Like, it feels overwhelming. How you feel is totally normal. But what if you normalize that and you just say, hey, I'm a beginner. All these things are normal for me to think and feel. I don't have to use that against myself. I can just say, yep, I'm probably supposed to not be good at this until I get better. I can believe in myself anyway. You know, and when I first started coaching at No BS, like MJ was so good. She gave me like 5 clients. And she was like, you just tell me how you're doing with it. And I was so grateful for that. It's like, thank you for not giving me 30 clients all at once. Right now, I can do 30 clients in my sleep. But I had to build up my capacity to figure out the processes and understand how the Zoom work and the scheduling and the notes and how long that would take me. Like, that's all new skill sets that is really taxing your abilities, you know, and it takes a lot of your energy. And so you can just give yourself some space and some grace for that process to play out. And like, I want you to picture yourself at your desk right now. Like, picture yourself at that desk trying so hard to do a good job. Like, what do you feel for her?
That is a waste of energy because you're not going to be able to do what needs to be done. So,
Is that what you really think? You froze. I didn't hear what you said. Is that
well,
what you
sorry.
truly think? You're not going to be able to do it?
That's what it feels true. I mean, that's what I, I'm sorry. I don't know why I went off
That's
on this
okay.
side.
Listen, I think that this is the
So.
most important conversation because I don't want to coach you past a capacity that you feel is you're over your head at. Is that what you think? Do you want to revisit this new responsibility and say, hey, I don't think I want it?
It wasn't my choice. It was given to me. So, it's basically, I mean, I guess I could look for a different job.
You could. What else could you
So,
do?
let's tough it out and
Could you
do
talk
what I
to
can.
HR? Could
So,
you talk to your manager?
that's who gave me the responsibility. So,
Okay, but do they
yeah.
understand your
So,
true thoughts and feelings about the new responsibility and how you're struggling?
I'm really, I, it's really not, I'm not able to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
Yeah,
I need to just pick it up and deal with it. So, I mean, I've worked there for 25 years, so I'll figure it out. It just sucks right now. So
Yeah, you're in
I'll
the
figure it out.
grind. This is what we
So,
call the grind. You're in the grind. And in the grind, you've got a plan with your no BS to do minimal requirements that take your energy and your emotional work, right? Make it as easy for yourself as possible. Okay. When you make a plan, give yourself lots of options. Okay. And a ton of grace. You can adapt this to the grind you're in right now. And I want to leave you with this. Always tell yourself in the morning that you have a choice whether to go into your job or not, because that is true. When I coached my
It's true.
ER
Yeah, no one puts
doctors
anybody
through
had to go.
COVID, when I coached them through COVID, I said, I think it's really important for you to say that, like, you don't have to go in if you don't want to. And just giving yourself that choice is sometimes relieving enough to know, like, I'm not in a prison. Like, no one's forcing me to do this, but I'm going to give it my try again today, Well, you keep freezing. So I think we'll just cut it off for that. But thank you for, being honest, Raquel, and for being really brave and just really sticking with your honest truth, which is, it's not just something that you can coach yourself out of. If you truly feel as though you're at the limits of your capacity, then, consider your other options. And maybe doing so will just help you, like, open up to the grind a little bit more to make it easier on yourself with your self-talk. That could help. Anyway, let me know what
Thank
happens,
you.
okay?
Thank you.
All right, you take care. I'll bring you back down. All right, who's next? Ellen, you're next. Let's take some water, everybody. Ellen, are you coming up? There she is.
Yeah, sorry, extra
That's okay. How are
extra
you?
buttons.
All right, what are we coaching on, Ellen?
Okay, so I'm the person who does this is such a fluke that I was even able to catch this session. I'm the person who doesn't ask to be coached because I haven't been doing the stuff. I don't
Oh.
have the data to bring in to do it.
Okay. But let me ask you a question. Did you live your life? Do you have a memory recall of what's been happening? More or less.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, day by day.
Okay.
I've gotten into, you know, talk about time crunches, and a lot of it comes from self-worth. I think a lot of it comes from self-worth, but you know, I've gotten into this rut where I go to work, I race home to take the dog out.
Yep.
So he can go run, and I come home, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and that's it. And I go to bed, and I fight to get out of bed, and I go to work.
Okay.
And I get out of work late, and I rush home to take the dog for a walk.
Yep. And it's like Groundhog Day all over again,
yeah,
right?
So,
okay. So let me ask you a bunch of questions.
Okay.
Are you trying to incorporate any of the four basics right now in any way?
Yes. The water.
Okay. How much water are you drinking?
A gallon plus.
Amazing.
I live up in the high desert, and yeah.
Awesome. Okay. What about sleep?
Sleep. I am aware that I need to be doing it.
All right. How much sleep are you getting? Do you know?
I don't know. I start trying to go to bed around 10:30.
Okay. Do you sleep pretty soundly through the night?
Fall asleep around 1. Once I get down, I'm down. But then the alarms start going off, you know, 7 o'clock. And
all right, what's happening between 10:30 and 1 a.m.?
All of a sudden it's the urges to get everything else done.
Okay, so you have thoughts in your dark bedroom about doing all the things.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten to the dark bedroom yet. I'm trying to do all the things, or I've just been so overwhelmed and feel like a fuck up and sitting there zoning out on TV.
Oh, so the beat down. Okay. And then all the evidence about why you should beat yourself down. Okay. Well, why don't you just spend, instead of going up at 10:30, why don't you just, how does this sound? Let's try some shit and see what sticks. What if at 9 p.m. you set an alarm to spend half an hour doing some stuff before you try to go to bed?
Because I would have just gotten home and been in that funky spot where I feel like it's too late to eat dinner, but I'm hungry and I'm usually binging.
Okay, so you do eat in response to hunger. It's just that you're eating more than what would satisfy you.
Yeah, okay. And not what I would plan. I mean, I have a pretty basic protocol, but it's not what I would.
Okay. So why are you overeating? Do you know?
Yeah, because I'm lonely, because I'm tired, because I'm in pain, because it distracts me, because it tastes good, because it comforts me.
Okay.
Because it sounds better and more appetizing at 9 o'clock at night than, you know, vegetable soup and a tuna sandwich.
Okay. Okay. So first level to work at is to plan the food that you would be binging on anyway. No virtuous planning. Okay. I just want you to plan for the food that you would normally binge that you know that you're going to want. You just plan it. Okay. Then when you get home, you're hungry. Great. You have it. And then I want you to just work on noticing where enough would be. Do you have a sense of where that would be?
I have a sense of what should be. That's one thing I'm working on, is finding those hunger and those and fullness cues. Because traditionally, you know, I ignore my hunger until I'm shaking.
Right. Okay. Well, that's going to set you up to overeat for sure.
Yeah. Or
so if you can work on the front end of that and not let your hunger build so much that it sets you up for that over desire, that will make working with your dinner that you have, even if it's late, easier for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the second thing that I want you to notice, like noticing where enough would be. And then I just want you to practice, if just put your fork down and pause to prove to yourself that you can pause at that moment, that would be enough. Now, you're probably going to still keep eating because you're used to doing that. But we're inserting one new behavior within that habit that you're used to practicing every night. We're interrupting that by saying, hey, I know where enough is. And I can even put my fork down, or even if it's a few seconds or whatever, before I pick it back up again. Now, you have some options here. If you feel like, here's what I would just have you work toward, even though you're not going to be able to do that right away, is find a space in the evening. Like, you probably want to eat right when you get home because you said you're really hungry, right?
Yeah.
And then sometime before bed, you're having these feelings, loneliness, tired, and pain. So I want you to develop a relationship with these emotions. I want you to develop an intentional relationship with your pain, an intentional relationship with loneliness, and an intentional relationship with tired. So that starts with the now plus nurture process. And instead of maybe like ruminating before bed about all the shoulds and all that stuff, all the beat down, maybe you could just start to process the emotions that are there that really want your attention and their the acknowledgement that they're there, whether you chose to eat over them or not, right? When you can locate, hey, I'm in physical pain, and that creates emotional pain maybe, or just like locating the physical pain in your body. Hey, it's there. This is what it feels like. This is what I tend to think when I have that. And this is what I would like to start to think. You develop like a two-way conversation with what your body is feeling and what you choose to think in relation to that. Okay. Loneliness, same thing. Where does lonely live in your body? Can you do a body scan? Can you open up to it? Can you say, I can be with you? It's okay for me to feel this. Our bodies are designed to feel the emotion that comes from how we choose to think about our life. It's emotion, energy in motion, emotion. So you're just noticing an energetic vibration in your body from how you've been thinking. You can just notice that. You can start saying, it's not that I'm lonely, I'm feeling lonely. You see that? There's a difference. I'm feeling an emotion of loneliness. It doesn't mean that you are that thing, because emotions come in waves and then they leave. So it's a temporary state of allowing. And if you keep thinking the thoughts that create the loneliness, that will continue, right? But if you just pause and allow it to be there and develop a relationship with it, then maybe it just leaves. I don't know. You know, this is where the fear comes in, right? Because it doesn't feel great to be eating over all these things and then staying up too late and doing the Groundhog Day thing, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to kind of feel like shit to feel these emotions on purpose too. But one of them, one of those choices to feel like shit on purpose might help you develop a receptivity for negative emotions and a curiosity about what they're trying to tell you about your life and how you think about it and where you could start to shift things. Okay. I don't want to give you too much to do because I don't want to overwhelm you. What do you think?
I have some questions.
Okay.
The loneliness one is hard. So we'll just leave that alone for a little bit.
It's okay. You can say I'm lonely. That's all right.
I am so fucking isolated and I want to go home so bad. If I could just win the lottery. Like no one here. no one.
Okay.
And that's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Plus everything closes at 5 p.m. So even trying to build relationships and stuff is unrealistic unless you're,
Okay. So for that, I would say, I wouldn't argue. I would give you the fact. I'm lonely. I'm isolated. I'm going to give you the fact. Don't want you to argue with it. Mm-hmm. But then if that's the fact, what do you want to think about that? That feels better.
I need some suggestions on.
Okay. So when I think about, when I think about isolated and lonely, what comes up for me is lack of connection. Okay. And so I would think, okay, I may not have the lottery winnings to do what I want to do. And so that's a no right now, but how else can I create connection in my life? Anything come to mind?
No, I was going to, Barbara just put it up there. Get on Facebook at 10:30 at night when I'm alone.
Get coached.
Yeah.
And now Coach Heather knows my name. And now Coach Heather.
But not when I'm feeling lonely. And the only reason I caught Coach Heather is because I got so hungry at 3 o'clock that I stopped to eat lunch. And so it allowed for this.
Okay. So you take your opportunities wherever you can find them. That's one thing you can think that feels a little better. It's hard for me to find connection, but when I find it, I go for it. Look at me here.
Yeah.
You know, and I would really invite you to come to the Facebook group and just find your connection in any way. Hey, is anyone else feeling lonely? Like, what do you all do to find connection? Coach Heather challenged me about this. Play with it for a week. Get your brain on it in a way that it starts to work at it, like it works on a knot, just to try to like unravel it and be willing to think out of the box. Try some shit. Like when I said I was going to lose all my weight, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try everything. Everything. And a bunch of stuff isn't going to work, but some stuff just might. And that's what this call is all about. You know, the seasons will always change. The daylight changes. We have to change the way we do our movement. We have to change the way we eat. You know, the summer food is going now and then the fall food comes up and it's like, okay, who upset the apple cart? That's life.
That's my whole life right now.
Right. The apple cart is upset. Okay. Make it a fact. Now be relentlessly in your own corner, thinking in ways that bring you relief from feeling like shit all the time. Take responsibility for that. And at least you have control over that, right? You may not have control over a bunch of stuff, but we can try to redirect thoughts that feel terrible. We can tell the both sides of the story. We can journal even after an overeat, right? We can try to get our water in. Notice the things that you're already doing really well, which is your water. It's amazing. Make sure you tell that story. And so this is about a focus thing, okay? When you focus on what feels terrible and what the problem is, you don't leave yourself bandwidth to find creative solutions for what might work, okay? So shift the focus. What do I want? What do I want to create here? And how can I get my brain on board with me to help find creative solutions for what I want for my life? Okay.
Yeah. So that's the question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've even lost what I wanted to create. I got beat down so bad here. And even allowing the time to go pause and reflect, and it's not happening.
Okay. So this too, like Mary Oliver is a poet. And she has this one line, and I forget which poem, and it says, someone once gave me a box of darkness, and it took me a long time to realize that this too was a gift. And so how I interpret that is no matter what happens in my life that is really hard, I can find meaning from my struggle, and I can make it mean that I find the strength, I can find the lesson, I can find out what I'm made of, and I can use that to keep going and make meaning from it. Okay, that's what I invite you to do. Okay, check in with me in about a week and ask coaches. Tell me what you worked on and let me know how it went.
So where does pause, where I think enough is, look like? Like if I'm eating two cups of ice cream and a package of Ding Dongs, I know that the package of Ding Dongs is more than enough, like calorie wise.
No, I want it to be, okay, so this is how I like to define it for my clients. When you're trying to eat to enough, and that's less than you've been eating because you want to lose weight, it's going to feel physically like you're no longer hungry and probably like you can tell there's food in your stomach, right? But you're not really stretching your stomach. So the stomach isn't overly full. It's not stretched. There's some room in there, right? And your brain will say, that's not enough. It will feel very emotionally unsatisfying. So we say eat to satisfied. That means physically satisfied. Expect your brain to be emotionally unsatisfied with stopping there.
Okay. I guess for me, because I'm disconnected from the feelings, there's no full button. There's no, there's no, unless I'm shaking, then I can feel the first bite hit my stomach. But I mean, I'm still shaking after eating lunch.
So this is a capacity that you have to build. Okay. It's like going to Italy and not speaking Italian. You're not going to know what anybody's saying. Because you don't know the language yet. You don't know the language of your stomach. You don't understand it. You haven't been tuned into it. So again, just like the other caller, you're a beginner at this. You're not going to be great at it, but you're going to listen. Like in Italy, you'd be like, okay, what is that word I keep hearing? Prego. It means thank you. And you'll pick up that one first, and then you'll pick up another one. You just keep your awareness, keep your attention focused on stomach. Tell me when you've had enough. Tell me when we're full. I want to speak your language. Just be open. And I promise you, it's going to be like a symphony. You're going to be like translating all of the signals of your stomach the more you focus on it. What do you think?
I'm still confused, you know.
It's okay. Think about the traveler in Italy that doesn't speak Italian. So normal for them to be confused about what everybody's saying. You're right where you need to be. Confusion is step one. It's okay. You just keep listening for those signals. Make some choices. Make some decisions. See what happens. Okay?
Sure.
All right. Don't look so enthusiastic.
This is life. I know I'm not the only one who kind of, you hear it, you know what you're supposed to be doing and just to do it. And then it's the beat down. Like, I don't have any kids or anything, you know, I don't have any parents. There's nothing to do here. Like I'm living a, you know, big, happy life. I'm not trying to fit in, you know, everything. So.
Okay. But the beat down is optional. Remember I said that's the one thing you have control over. So you don't have to pile it on. It's hard enough. You're confused. You don't know what your stomach signals say.
Yeah.
You don't have to judge yourself for that. So opt out and just say, I don't do that anymore. I'm already lonely and in pain, right? I don't need to judge my stomach performance and translating what my stomach says. I'm just going to allow myself to be a beginner and I'm just going to practice and I'm going to be with myself. And I don't have to beat on myself for that. Okay. Kindness is going to go a long way with your self-talk. Okay. All right. You check in with
Okay.
me after a week, okay? Let me know how it went. I'm going to watch for your question and ask coaches.
Okay.
All right, Ellen, you take
See you.
care. Bye. All right, I'm going to bring you back down. Thank you, everybody, for coming in, watching the coaches, the coaching, being so supportive of all of these really brave No BS women who are incredibly vulnerable and totally fucking inspiring to me. You know, I really take my hat off to each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing your journey. If you're looking for connection, please come into the Facebook group and tell us. Connect with us. We're all here to support you, not just the coaches and Corinne, but every single No BS woman has an ability to connect with you and support you on your journey, whether you're just starting out and being a beginner or you've been here a long time. That's not an excuse to judge yourself for your performance. Get in the work of the four basics. Think about creative solutions for how you can start applying these things. And, you know, there's things that you need to work out, please come to camp. Come to journaling camp. What are you all waiting for, right? These tickets are going, and this could be a game changer for you. So I encourage you to go to the website right now, sign up for camp, make the commitment to yourself. It'll probably make going into fall season so much easier for you because you've made the commitment to yourself and for the work. Okay. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining. Thank you, Christy, for being amazing.